don't you worry anymore. 'Cause when life looks like Easy Street, there is danger at your door.
Back on Downtown, it's time for this week's Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us. Hello, sir.
Rich, I'm so glad to join you today. We're gonna go on a voyage through the infinite, through clouds. There'll be wine, we'll be on a ship. It'll be fantastic. We'll who knows what we'll see.
That's pretty good.
I did my best, and now I like need a sip of water.
yeah, exactly.
My God, that's hard to do. Oh, my gosh. Oh, what a loss. 71 years of age. I'm not a tremendously old person, but I'm certainly at the age where you start hearing about people and you're like, that's too young.
Yeah, well, exactly.
That's not right. Yeah. So anyway, you all know I'm from Central Jersey, right? So, to all you Celtics fans and anybody else out there, I'm sorry that was a tough loss. It's been a tough weekend in the basketball world. I don't know if anybody heard about Stan Van Gundy's revelation about his wife as well.
But yeah,
it's been tough. So if anybody's out there grieving, you have my heart with you. Listen. So I had a fun weekend. I hope everybody else did. And it sort of dovetailed into what I was going to talk about today anyway. So I'll share that I did a private tasting. Somebody had to twist my arm to do a tasting on the coast of Maine, down in Oak Point Road or something like that, down in Trenton. Absolutely just gorgeous spot, beautiful day. And I happened to run into at this tasting someone who had actually hosted me in Montpellier, France, me and my family. We had nice chats about the current scene. At the time, she was making gin down in southern France, and she sold her concerns down there, is back in Maine helping her mother. And then she and her partner intend on moving back to France. And I said, well, are you going to go back to southern France? She said, absolutely not. She actually said, we're going to move to the regions that we're going to talk about today, which are not wine-producing regions, but we'll get there if we can hang on to that thought while I talk about it. Today we're going to talk about Brittany and Normandy. Normandy specifically, but Brittany is related, so just sort of keep it as an adjunct to this. But these are the two spots on the northwestern coast of France that sort of look towards Britain, hence Brittany, and that's kind of how that whole invasion happened. I'm not going to get into it. Look it up. I don't have that much time. But basically, the Britons came from that part of the world, and it looks across the English Channel. And at times past, we've talked about how there are currently, especially in the past 10 years, massive investments on the English side of, with the Cliffs of Dover and in Kent, massive investment in essentially champagne-like wine, so Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, etc. But in Normandy and in Brittany, they're known for apples and pears. They are not known for wine. But why? So we've been talking about appellations, we've been talking about terroir, we've been talking about why they grow certain things in certain places. And I kind of like to talk about this, A, because people like cider as well. There's a lot in common, especially since the better ciders, especially the ones in this part of the world in France, are made very typically with champagne yeast. So essentially you're substituting one form of fruit sugar for another. And they're wonderful. So a little bit about this part of the world. There was a man named Etienne Dupont, whose ciders you can find, and he was behind the creation of an AOC, right? So again, what that means is appellation origine contrôlée. So a controlled appellation of the limited area, much like we're talking about with your Burgundies, your Bordeaux, etc. This one simply is for cider and the distilled equivalent, which is called Calvados, right? So distilled apple mush, essentially. And so he was the first one to get there, which is in what is known as the Pays d'Auge. Again, you can sort of look it up on a map if you're not really familiar with that part of France. But it's just considered to be the finest terroir for these ciders and these apples. But why? And this is sort of interesting when we extrapolate from what I was telling you earlier. The soils in the region are very poor, right? And we all know that vines like struggle. They don't want super, they'll grow in super fertile areas, but they don't necessarily produce good fruit from that. So in this region in Normandy, there's marl, especially, you know, chalky marl, which again is this beautiful white sort of dusty stuff that really is excellent for, again, both these pear and apple trees as well as vines. And what it does, just like with vines, is it produces smaller apples. It makes the tree, in this case, strain. And the concentration of the fruit, therefore, becomes extraordinarily good and desirable. Huge aromatic intensity. And also, interestingly, the ratio of skin to pulp is greatly reduced, so you can extract a lot of tannin from it if that's what you want to do, which tannin can provide, you know, length and durability for the fermented beverage down the road. excuse me. As well, these folks all up there work very much in the same sort of sensibility of they don't use, you know, artificial fertilizers, chemicals, etc. So for that reason, as we're clearly seeing the effects of climate change everywhere, but what I was talking about with this woman, Sunny, who was down in Montpellier, and they moved not because they themselves are fruit trees or vines, but because they are humans, and she said it's excruciatingly hot. Bear in mind that this is basically the other side of the Mediterranean, and on the other side of the Mediterranean, you have swaths of desert. It is not out of bounds to suggest, having been there and seen the dry riverbeds, etc., that is what is starting to happen in the southern coast of France. And short of artificial means or massive change in the climate, it's starting to dry up. So if you want to be a winemaker, it's an interesting concept to go to places where you don't have traditionally winemaking, but you have soils that are extraordinarily perfect. Then the question becomes what sort of hills, what sort of exposure, et cetera, like that. But it's a really fascinating thing to think about that not just, but also for practicality, you're going to start seeing winemaking in places you never have before, including places like Normandy, which is to say, if anybody has a couple spare bucks, go around looking for hills in Maine with nice southwest exposure, because you too could become rich in the wine business in about 10 to 20 years. You laugh. I'm almost not kidding. So all that said, we are done with this month. Next month is my birthday month. Yeah, but we will start our world tour, and we'll start with France and with Germany, and go from there. And sure from that, I'm about to head out to, I think, my 136th. Wish me.
Well, we wish you luck in that. Be safe out there, and we'll visit with you again next Tuesday.
Sounds good. Be safe, everybody.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Eric Mahan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday afternoon here on Downtown.